Amen. Thank you for that, dear. Family verses and song. It's always a special blessing when you open up your heart and let everyone see what's going on in the home like that, brother. Thank you. Well, greetings to all of you this morning. All you visitors, welcome here in the name of Jesus. And you, my sisters and my brothers, welcome. Can we kneel for prayer this morning? Just turn around in our seats and humble ourselves before God. Yes, Lord Jesus, we do kneel before you, our God, who has the whole world in your hand. Truly, you are the Almighty. All authority is given unto you in heaven and upon earth and under the earth. So I lift my prayer to you for this service this morning, Father. I pray you take these words to hearts, and as your word says, that you would build thy church, and that the gates of hell cannot prevail against her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for gathering us all together here, for washing us in the blood of Jesus, and making us brothers and sisters in Christ. For that I gratefully thank you, and submit myself and my lips to you this morning. Again, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I'd like to share a message that is, it's difficult to preach this morning, I'll just be honest with you. You know, with the death of Paul Weaver on our hearts, and it was difficult to know what to preach this morning, and difficult to have the strength to preach this morning. To the family, I say that my heart is with you and grieving with you at the hand of the Almighty that is upon your family. I grieve with you. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort." And I went to the Word of the Lord this morning and just looked the Scripture and said, "Lord, what should be said to the church at Ephrata Christian Fellowship this morning?" And those were the words that came to my mind. Let he that prophesieth speak to edification, exhortation, and comfort. And so I weighed the things that are upon us, and I think we all are reeling a bit and staggering under many things. I felt led that God would have me share a very simple message this morning. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. My simple encouragement this morning is going to be this. It's not lofty, it's not high, it's very simple. My encouragement is, let us lean upon the Lord. Let us lean upon the Lord. I feel that that's the message we need to hear this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, starting in verse 28. "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is He weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Thus saith the Lord. I never read the book, Secret of Their Strength, but the title sticks with me, and I had to think of that title this morning. Well, I don't know what that book says is the secret of their strength, but this morning I believe that what I'm going to talk about is the secret of their strength. The secret of our strength lies in waiting upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up. They shall be strengthened. They shall walk. They shall run. They that wait upon the Lord. There is no lack of strength with God, and He giveth power to the faint. I know as young men we set our minds and our eyes on many things. I remember as a young man I had a lot of high ideals and thought the world and life should be one way and thought to set out to correct all the errors of my parents and the church and many of those things. And as young men, there's a lot of zeal and a lot of God-given strength that's been given to us. And we set our ideals and we set our eyes. But I find that very soon, even the greatest zeal, tempered by the greatest disciplined life, fails. The Scripture says, young men shall utterly fail. And so, I think God is giving us this secret in the hour of trial. And the secret is this. Wait. They that wait upon the Lord, they will be renewed in their strength. When young men are failing because it's too much, the journey is too long, the valley is too dark, the zeal is gone, the ambition is gone, the vision is gone, everything is different. The Scripture says, now, wait on the Lord. And God will supernaturally, God will lovingly, powerfully give to you that which He possesses, and that is strength that waneth not. To run, to walk, to mount up like with wings like eagles. They that wait upon the Lord. Notice here that running is without weariness. We can't conceive that. We can't conceive what is it like to run and run and run and run and run and not be weary. What is it like to walk and walk and walk and your feet don't get heavy and you don't feel faint after the miles and miles and the heat of life? But the Scripture says very plainly, thus saith the Lord, they shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Well, I'd like to just talk a little bit about waiting. What does it mean to wait? I looked at the word wait and found in the Old Testament it's most commonly used, but it's used with a lot of different words. Our word wait is translating many different Hebrew words. I'll just go down the list here and see if you can get an overview of what God means by wait. Wait is the word kava, which means to bind together, to collect, and to expect. I think it either has to do with binding sheaves, waiting for a harvest, or gathering together as an assembly to the expectation of something. But that's one of the most common words. It means to expect or to bind together, to collect. Yakal means to wait, be patient, and hope. The word keel is sometimes used for wait. This is very interesting. This word means to twist. To twist or whirl or writhe in pain or fear. Waiting in the Old Testament sometimes means a writhing, a waiting in twisting agony and pain sometimes. Like as in childbirth. It's used in childbirth that way. The word damam means to be dumb, astonished, and to stop. That's the word used for wait. Sometimes in our lives, when we wait on the Lord, we don't have a lot to say. We just feel like being quiet. Going aside and getting in the presence of God and just be quiet. Turn with me to Psalm 62 and I'll show you a use of this verse. David uses this verse here in Psalm 62, verse 5. He says, 62:5, he says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge to us." Selah. This is the word damam. It means to be dumb. My soul, be quiet. My soul, get before God and just stop all your wrestling. Stop all your wondering. Stop and just be quiet, my soul. God is your refuge. God is a hiding place. He is a rock that you can run to. Where He is one that understands. He is one that is not perplexed by the circumstances. Notice he says here, pour out your heart before Him. It's not the silence of an empty heart. It is the silence of a believing heart. It is when I have dumped my whole bucket upon God and I said, "God, I don't understand. God, what is going on?" And all that's in the heart just comes rushing out and you pour it out before God. And then David says to his soul, "My soul, be quiet. And wait for the Lord." The word shabar means to look at, to view, has the sense of investigation, expectation, and waiting for. Like when you're really wanting to understand the will of God and you're going to the Word of God and quietly waiting on the Lord to show you, "Lord, show me what is your will." That's waiting on the Lord. The word shabar. Dumiya means stillness, silently, quiet waiting. Kaka means to adhere to await. It's like sticking to God. Waiting on God, it's like I'm just right here beside Him. I'm staying right with Him. I'm staying with God through this whole thing. Psalm 33 uses that word. It says, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. Our soul adhereth to the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in Thee. Well, I have five things to say about waiting here this morning, and then I'd like it if my family would be ready to come up and sing a song with us as a family. Number one, waiting takes faith. Waiting on the Lord takes faith. Waiting on the Lord takes faith. Hebrews 11 says, without faith it is impossible to please Him, but he that cometh unto God must first believe that He is, and believe that He will reward us for diligently seeking Him. And so when we come into the presence of God in waiting on the Lord, we must come in faith that God will reward us who diligently seek Him. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2:6. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Hear the Word of God this morning, brothers and sisters. Hear the Word of God. The Scripture saith, behold, I, God, have laid in Zion a cornerstone. I have laid the right stone in its place. It is in the corner. It's square. It's polished. It's ready to be lined up. The whole building can line up with that stone. I have chosen a precious cornerstone. There's none like it. And that cornerstone is the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, the Scripture says, that everyone who puts his eye on that stone and believes in Him, everyone who takes the Lord Jesus at His Word, it says, shall not be confounded. Shall not be confounded. We will not be confounded if we put our trust and our hope in God. If we line ourselves up with the Lord Jesus and we trust in Him and cast our care upon Him, He will not confound us. He'll not let us go to be confounded. Romans 10:11 says the same thing. It says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. If we've put our trust in the Lord Jesus, then we can say unto God, God, You have said, I will not be ashamed. I will not be ashamed. That's the Word of God to us. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're walking in a dark valley this morning. I know there's more than just one this morning that has a dark valley and doesn't know where you're going. And we need to hear the Word of God and lay our faith and our hope in the Word. Let the Word of Christ come to your heart this morning. Let faith arise and say, I believe those words. I believe. I have believed in Jesus Christ and I shall not be ashamed. I have believed, I have trusted in Him and I will not be confounded. That is the Word of God for us this morning. Waiting on the Lord takes faith. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, I know whom I have believed and have persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And if I can take that verse and those concepts and apply it to waiting on the Lord. Paul knew the things that he had laid before God. Paul knew that he had waited before the Lord. And he had committed things that he did not understand. He had committed his life. He had committed his future. He had committed his religion. He had committed everything unto God. He knew that. He had waited on the Lord and come to a place of resting. And he says, I'm confident that what I did there will stand. God will not forget what I've committed unto Him. I think that's like under what is said in Peter there when it says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And that takes faith too. It takes a faith to believe this morning that God cares for me. God cares for me. And if you come to God and wait on Him with that faith, God cares for me, then we have the right and the power to take all the burdens of our hearts and lay them down before the Lord and leave them there. And cast the burden that's on our back onto the Lord. And say, Lord, I know You care about all these things. I give them to You. Number two, waiting on the Lord is a matter of the heart. Waiting on the Lord is not just does not come out of an apathy or a neutrality in our life. Waiting on the Lord assumes that there are matters of our heart going on. Things going on in our hearts. It's a matter of the heart. Waiting lifts the eyes of the heart to God. When the heart is overwhelmed, waiting assumes that you're going to be overwhelmed with life. You're going to be overwhelmed with things, occurrences and things that are going on that you don't understand. It assumes that you'll be there. And then waiting lifts the eyes of the heart to God and trusts God. Waiting, number three, takes time. Waiting takes time. It is a drawing aside to a quiet place and a pouring out of our hearts to God, like it says in Psalm 62 there. Pouring out our hearts. Casting all our cares sometimes takes time. I don't know if you have ever experienced this or not, but sometimes those cares stick to me. And I go and I want to cast them off and I want to get clear of that care. I can't carry it. It's burdening me down. It's crushing me. And I try to cast it off and it just stays. And you try casting it off. It takes time. It takes time. It takes time in the Word to refocus and get our thinking straightened by the Word of God again. And have the Lord say, now David, give me that care. Cast it off here and leave it here. I'll take care of it. I care for you. Number four, waiting changes us. Waiting changes us. Waiting strengthens our faith by trial. A faith that is not tested is not as valuable. The Scripture says in Peter, it says there, that your faith, being more precious than gold, though tested by fire, may result in praise. When I have cast myself upon God in the darkest of night, in the deepest of shadows, and I have my faith has held to God in that day, then praise, the Bible says, comes out of that to Christ. Waiting changes us. Humility is developed by seeing our own weakness and our utter dependency upon God for any good. Our waiting changes us. When we're brought to a place where we just go to the Lord, whether we're writhing, whether we're just waiting patiently, whether we're silent and benumbed by it all, waiting develops a humility as we see, you know, I'm not as strong as I thought I was. The zeal that I had as a young man doesn't reach today. All the ambitions I had and the things that I set for myself, they're not lasting. That's good. Waiting brings us to our knees where we realize we don't have what it takes to walk this road. And number five, waiting brings surrender. We all have a tendency to want our lives to go a certain way. We write our story with our small pen, and we set our hearts to expect that which we have written. But it happens so often that God writes a different story, contrary to our own will. And as our hearts are broken by the unfolding scenes of our lives, then waiting brings us to full surrender of our own wills and a broken approval of the will of God. This finds favor with God. God does not afflict willingly. God does not take pleasure in our misery. But this finds favor with God. When He sees His servant devoted unto Him, when He sees the will laid down in abandoned surrender, and it doesn't matter what you write for my life, God, I approve of it. This finds favor with God. I'd like to sing a song this morning. It's not in our hymn books. Maybe my family would come forward. Maybe some of you know it. I'd like to sing a song, "Just as Seemeth Good to Thee." If you know it, you're welcome to sing along. Let's just stand down here, family. 404.
Choose my path, O blessed Savior. Let me trusting lean on Thee. Order Thou my joys and duties, just as seemeth good to Thee. Just as seemeth good to Thee, just as seemeth good to Thee. Order Thou my steps, Lord Jesus, just as seemeth good to Thee. Let Thy wisdom guide.
Waiting brings surrender. That's where those things take place, in the time of waiting on the Lord. Well, I'd like to talk about a few people in the Bible that exemplified a waiting life. Abraham's life was punctuated with times of waiting. when Lot's herdsmen strove with Abraham's herdsmen for the land of the promised land there, I believe that Abram had a place that he used to meet with God, and that was on his heart when he went there and took that issue to God and waited on the Lord. And notice how he came to a surrender to his nephew and could say, the man who had received the promises and received the promised land and had nurtured and carried this boy along, and he comes to him and says, you choose, Lot. Separate from me. Whithersoever thou wilt, take whatever you want. I think Abraham had done some waiting there, knowing his life and knowing his character. For 20 years, he waited the promised son. 20 years, he waited for that boy. Never came. What must his times alone have been like? Lord, you said. You said that there'd be a promised son, that I'd have children and descendants like the sand of the sea, and yet I don't even have a son. For 20 years he waited on the Lord. In Genesis 19:27 it says, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. In my own thinking, I feel the Scripture is saying that that was the place where Abraham normally stood before the Lord. Sarah would get up in the morning. I don't know if it was within sight of the tent, but in my mind's eye, I can see a man standing out there before the Lord. Waiting to be a man of God. Waiting to have answers for his life. Waiting to be removed of the cares of his life. Waiting to see things spiritual. I believe he waited when he sent Ishmael and Hagar away. The Lord spoke to him and said, Abraham, don't be afraid to listen to the voice of your wife, Sarah. Send him away. But it was in a time of waiting before the Lord that those things get dealt with in the heart, that you have the strength to mount up with wings like eagles and run and not get weary and walk and not faint through those difficult times. When he chose a wife for Isaac, would have been a time of waiting for Abraham. He didn't just come to that conclusion, just woke up one morning with a good idea. But he had a burden before God that his son should marry someone from his own race. And so he sent for a wife and had that servant swear to him. Moses, waiting on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. Just waiting with the Lord. On his face before the Lord at the tabernacle. There were times it just says Moses didn't know what to do. And so he went to the tabernacle and fell on his face in front of God and said, God, what do I do with this people you have given me to lead? And he waited on the Lord until the Lord gave him direction. And he got up in new strength and he walked without fainting. It is important that we wait on the Lord. Joshua also followed Moses' examples. It says that the young man Joshua, when Moses left the tabernacle at one point, it says the young man Joshua was not willing to leave. He said, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay at the tabernacle. Moses, you go your way. I am seeing God. And I'm going to stay here. And he waited on the Lord. Hezekiah, when he found himself encircled by the enemy and no hope in sight, he went into the Lord. He just got on his face in the Lord and spread the matter before the Lord and said, Lord, do you hear what they're saying? And was silent before the Lord. He prayed that prayer in faith and then just waited on the Lord. For the Lord to work. King David was noted for his seeking the Lord during difficulties in his life. King David was noted for this. Psalm 130 is some reflection of that. There are a number of psalms that talk about it, but these are just a few that are real blessings. Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. I don't know, we are out of touch with watchmen in our day, but the watch of the night was broken up into usually four different watches. And the last watch was the worst watch, just before daybreak. It was latest. It's a difficult time to stay awake. It's a difficult time in life. It's the fourth watch. And you can just imagine, if you will, what a watchman is like. He's staying, he's doing his watching, and it's gray morning. You know, he knows that any time the sky is going to start looking fainter. And in a watchman's day, I think this psalm is talking about war, when at any moment you could see something moving. And as the night is starting to fade into day, there's an anxiety in the heart, because this would be a good time for the enemy to attack. And the watchman is watching, and he's longing for daybreak. He can't see. Yet his life is at stake, and all the people that he's watching over at stake, and the watchman is longing for the morning. When would it be morning? Is the daylight any lighter? Is the sky any grayer? And it says, David says, that's how I watch for the Lord. Lord, where are you? Lord, you're going to come. I know you're coming. I know you're as sure as the morning. I know it's going to get light. I know that daylight's coming, but where are you? And there's a watching and an anxious. David says, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Yes, I'm telling you, more than they that watch for the morning, that's where my soul is. I am anxiously awaiting the work of God in this situation. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption, and He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquity. Psalm 123 also, if you'd turn there, just back a couple pages. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that He have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. It says there that David likens his soul and what's going on inside, as he says, it is like servants look unto the hand of their masters. And I think what it's meaning there is that a servant is fed by his master. He waits for his daily sustenance from the master. That a woman might have had many, many girls serving her, but not only were they her servants, but it was her duty also to see that those servants were fed. And so the servants look to the master. How are we going to get our food today? How is this going to work out in our work today? When do we eat? Are you finished? Are we free to go? Can we eat now? And everything, it's the eye of the servant is looking to the hand of the mistress. And it's a picture of the master holding out the hand, like like God does to all living things, and everything is just looking to God. Where do I get my food today? That's the picture. And David says, our eyes are like that upon God. Where are we going to get our food today? How's God going to lead us today? We have needs today. Jeremiah. We don't think much of Jeremiah as a great example in the Bible, but Jeremiah's life was one of great pain. He was called the weeping prophet. He went through the wrath of God. And in Lamentation 3, verse 22, these are his words. I think earlier in the first chapter is where the first two chapters, he talks about what he sees. When he goes through the streets of Jerusalem and he sees the old men at the head of the street in their blood, and young men are slain and women are dead, and the atrocities of war are all around him. And he's walking through the streets saying things like, oh, that my eyes were fountains of water, that I should weep for the daughter of my people. Jerusalem is destroyed. And lamentation is the lamentation of the destruction of Jerusalem. And in verse 22, he says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is a good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And lastly, is the example of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Jesus was an example of this in His life. The Garden of the Mount of Olives was His waiting place. I don't know if you knew that, but Jesus Christ had a place that He often, it says, would go. Judas knew of the place when he brought the soldiers there because Jesus was wont to go there. When the Jews were in their council after Jesus had said some hard things and they took counsel to take His life, the Scripture ends the chapter and says, and every man went to his house. And the next chapter begins and says, and Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Every man went to his house. Conspiracy was in the air. His life, his ministry, and his disciples, all of his work was at stake. And Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Well, what did He do there? He went there to get away from the crowd, to get away from ministry, to quiet Himself in the beauty of the garden, and wait upon the Lord. It was the strength, secret of His strength too. If you look at the life of Jesus, waiting on the Lord was the secret of His strength too. I believe that in the 3 years of His ministry, that the garden of the Mount of Olives heard every kind of waiting that we've mentioned here. Sometimes silent waiting. Sometimes writhing in fears. Sometimes searching to know His Father's will. Sometimes casting His cares. Sometimes surrendering afresh His own will. I believe all those were things that took place in the Garden of the Mount of Olives. When Jesus went there to be strengthened by waiting upon the Lord. How did He walk through this life and not faint? How did He keep running and not get weary? Because He waited upon the Lord. Psalm 62. Back to Psalm 62, verse 5. Talking about the Lord Jesus' example, I believe that these are words that describe His prayer life. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Isaiah 50, verse 10, speaks of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Is that right? You mean a Christian who feareth the name of the Lord and obeyeth the voice of His servant? Are there times in their life when they walk in darkness and have no light? Yes, there are. And the Scripture asks us this morning, who is among you? Who is among us this morning? Are you sitting here and you're walking in a darkness and you feel like there's no light, and yet you fear the Lord, yet you obey the voice of His servant? The Lord Jesus is your God. You have surrendered your life to Him, and yet you feel like you're walking in darkness and you don't have any light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. You know what a stay is? That's when you can hardly carry on any longer and you got to lean on something. You just can hardly stand up anymore. And you grab hold of something and you stay on it. And lean your weight on it. And rest your weary legs on it. The Scripture says, if you're in that state where it's dark and you have no light, and yet you fear the Lord and obey His voice, then trust in the name of the Lord in the darkness. And stay upon your God. Lean on Him. Put your weight on Him. Cast that care on Him. And be strengthened, like the Scripture says. So that's my simple encouragement. I say all of that to say this. Let us lean upon the Lord. Let us lean upon the Lord. I wonder if we could stand our feet as a congregation here, the Church of Jesus Christ, and sing that song. Do you know the song, "They That Wait Upon the Lord Shall Renew Their Strength"? A little chorus. Trust that there's enough here to sing that. Let's just sing that to the Lord in faith and strengthen our hearts by those words this morning. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. I'd like to just conclude the message this morning with a time of prayer. If we can kneel as a congregation again, and just silently do as God is calling us to do this morning. Can we, everyone, alone with God, close the door? Is there a care in your life this morning that you need to cast upon the Lord? Is there a darkness you need to stay upon your God this morning? Let's just have a time of silent prayer this morning, and each one do business with God this morning. Yes, Lord Jesus, Thou that sitteth in the heavens, we do commit this congregation into Your care this morning.
Hear every crying heart, I pray. We know You do, Lord. I pray Your grace would rest upon this congregation. By Your Holy Ghost, You would grant to each one the ability to cast the care upon God, the ability to wait upon the Lord, and find You our strong tower and our refuge. Thank You, Lord. We commit all these words to Your care. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. What an appropriate song to sing at the end of that message. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. May God teach us those things in deeply within our heart, that we may learn what it is to wait patiently. I was so touched again by Abraham's wait there for 20 years on a son when he was promised that. And you would think, if that were me, you would lose patience. And especially as he saw his body getting old, you know, and Sarah's body getting old. And he had to wait till it was past and physically and humanly speaking impossible. Then the eye of faith rose to accept the word of God, and it was so. How many times God has to wait until our human efforts die out, until He can finally work through the eye and hand of faith. I'd like to open it up this morning for testimonies, confessions, or anything, just expressions. Raise your hand, we'll get a microphone to you. You have something to share. Yes, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Brother David, for that message. That was exactly what I needed to hear. I just had an intense week with a lot of just wrestlings in my heart, and also sharing with people, and it was just exactly what I needed. Thank you.
Amen. Kevin.
Yes. I was also blessed and encouraged today with the message, and I also need that in my life to wait upon God and get renewed and strengthened by Him. And I want that in my life, to walk in the power of Christ and not in my own strength. Also, I want to rejoice in the Lord for a little baby has given to us, a little baby boy. And thankful for that. And it's been a blessing. And also the dishes are out under the mailboxes for those who brought us meals, and we thank You for them. God bless you all.
Amen. Jeff.
I want to thank God for the messages today. I was very blessed. I just relocating up here and getting into body life here and learning all the different things. It seems like there's not enough hours in the day to, with a big family and schooling and trying to get settled. And it seems like I often say I'm tired, I'm weary. It seems like I get to bed later and later. And I've been thinking if I could just get to bed earlier. But I realize now that getting to bed is a blessing, but I need to wait on God.
Yes.
I think that's rather than more sleep, I need more time with God.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's just a lot of wasted time in our life because we try to do everything in our strength.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we need to wait on God. And
yes. How true.
It'd be better to miss some meals and miss some sleep and wait on God and meet with Him. So I just do thank God for God speaking to my heart today.
Amen. Yes.
David, I want to thank you for that message on waiting on God. I know that's a subject that the Lord has brought to my heart in the last few months, just that little, those few words, waiting on God. And I know there's depths in that, in those few words that I have not yet learned. And I just want to ask you all to pray for me, because I feel that's a need in my life. And a sister has again and again shared on me with me on the secrets that she's learned on waiting on God, and I feel it's an area that I have not learned what the Lord wants me to teach me, and I want to learn what it is to wait on God.
Thank you, Nancy. Yes, Shane?
Yes. I'm just bless the congregation here. We're new here, and it's a blessing to see a congregation work as a body, and one part hurts, the whole body hurts. It's a blessing to see that. And just thinking about what he said about waiting and writhing and all, and writhing in pain while you're waiting. And I don't know the situation. I don't know why Paul is in Montana and all that. I don't know any of that. But I know there's a young boy there in that car during the baptism that was seems to be away from God, and I don't know him. I never met him before, but it seemed like his conscience was wrestling, and he was wrestling with God. And there's a lot of people to writhe and wait on in agony and those things, but before they get to this point, there's seems a lot of youth that, you know, we heard a story of one gal that her boy died, and they were worried about her. She didn't eat, she didn't sleep, she didn't drink. She just cried. She said, my boy's lost. And a person came to her and said, you know, why weren't you doing that 2 weeks before he died instead of 2 weeks after he died? So I don't know the situation, but there's lots of boys here that we could cry and weep and not eat and cry out to the Lord for 2 weeks before they go.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, we are glad to be home, and we missed everyone here. I'd just like to thank everyone that helped out with Grandma and Grandpa while we were gone, and it was really a blessing, and it was much needed trip that we needed to be together as a family and spend several days together, and also to visit family out in the Midwest there, and to visit others, and we're really encouraged to see what God is doing in the New Order Church there and in different families. And we just praise the Lord, and I just want to thank the Lord for His mercy. And as we were traveling back yesterday from northwestern Pennsylvania and looking at all the beauty of creation, and I thought of that song that the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glorious face. And I thought of how temporal life is here. And as beautiful as it was, I thought of how beautiful it's going to be when we stand before the King and we cast our crowns at His feet, and we're there for eternity to worship Him in all of His glory and His beauty. And I just praise God for His mercy.
Amen. Yes, Myron.
Yes, we, the Weaver family, are waiting on the Lord. And we want to thank you for your love and prayers for us. Thank you very much.
Amen. Yes, brother.
Yeah, along with the point that waiting takes faith, I read a quote the other day that really has stuck with me by Oswald Chambers. He said, "Faith is an unutterable trust in God, a trust that never dreams that God does not stand by us."
Yes, amen. Yes.
I'd just like to say, I remember when I used to hear things like this, and things were easy, relatively, in my life. And I used to nod to those things and think that it was a neat idea. I can say amen to this message. I can say that with confidence that the strength of a man will fail. I can say with confidence that the strength of the Lord will not.
Yes.
I've been through both. I've seen both fruits. And it's not just a thing that we agree on paper. It's not just a thing that we can read about with great men in the past. I'm glad to say that I have testimony to this. My life has seen these things played out. And God has brought the Hathcock family through many griefs and difficulties. And His the staying on the Lord is the best place. It's the only place to really see things come through. And you know, when my marriage was in complete disarray, and my family was all pretty well dead and buried, and my friends had pretty much left because I was pretty busy feeling sorry for myself. He was all I had, and I guess the Lord made it that way so that I'd stop relying on so many other things. I relied on family. I relied on my friends and those things around me that were securities, and those things were taken away, and I bless God for it now. At the time, it was hard, but He became my stay. Which I wasn't real thrilled about all the time at the time. It was pretty difficult. But He brought us through, and we have a family now, and we have a lot of things that He could take away again. Mm-hmm. Any one of us. We're only here for a short time. And if our confidence isn't in the Lord, we have no confidence. Mm-hmm. But if our confidence is in the Lord, we have more than we even know. And I just want to say amen. He is our stay. He is our only real stay. Everything else is false. And the only way real fruit is going to come through, so much of it looks like a fruit and it tears. And the only way it's really going to come through on the other side and stand is if it's in the Lord. And so amen to the message. And amen to the Lord and His faithfulness and His mercy towards us.
I want to thank God for the message this morning also, and my heart goes out to the Meyer and Weaver family. And I just have some things written down here that I guess I want to share a little bit of my testimony of what I'm going through, and because I feel like I've been going through the fire for, you know, the last year, and you know, I guess my heart is that I am waiting on God, and I know that God will see me through this time of my life that I've been going through. And I just thinking that what we had in the children's lesson this morning, you know, some of us, am I the black bottle or am I the white bottle? Well, I think something that's really stood out to me is, if I can just kind of maybe add to the children's lesson a little bit too, if we mix that white and the black together, let's say if we have milk and oil and mix it together and shake it up, it's going to be gray. And then if we wait on God, the black will settle to the bottom. If we wait on God, because the black settles to the bottom, then we, because we're waiting on God, you know, when something is poured out of us, then white comes out. It's not anything that we have done. And also, I don't think any of us can say that, I know I can't say that I don't have any black in me. And if we, the point is, if we stir it up and shake it up, it's going to be gray or black. If we wait on God, it will settle, and I guess white can come out of it if we wait on God. And I just thank God for the test, you know, for that message, and thank you.
Okay. I want to actually say this morning that it does pay to wait upon the Lord. And I also want to thank God that He brought me to a congregation that I can rely on when I need prayer. The other day I saw my blood pressure was so high that it was just dangerous already. I called upon the congregation to pray for me, and it was just a miracle. Till evening my blood pressure had gone down, and I just had to thank God.
Amen.
That I can go and ask people that are in like faith with me and that believe in prayer, that they can pray for me, Lord. I just thank you for that all. And I want the Weaver family also to know that they've got my sympathy and my prayers. I want God to bless them.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Yes, I was delighted with the message, David. And what I've been pondering this week is how wonderful it is to have a God to trust in that we believe was working for our good yesterday and times before, and He will be tomorrow, and He is today. And the scripture that is so opposite of that is concerning the Gentiles. After such things do the Gentiles seek. They have nothing sure. Not one thing do they have that's sure, except perhaps death.
Yes.
And we have so many things that are sure, and let's delight ourselves in that, and let's just worship God who is worthy of all honor.
Amen. Amen. Donnie?
Yeah, I thank God for the message. I really needed that. Sometimes I just don't know what to do with my family situation. It's been a year now. Mm-hmm. As my children are bad, I don't know what to do. So I just pray that I would have you pray for me, that God would keep me faithful.
Yes.
The things that I know. Also pray for my wife that God would open her eyes and God would have mercy on her soul. God would show her the things that I see, and God would show her have a desire for a family, and just like to thank you all, and He would keep praying for me, and God would keep me faithful, and just thank you all. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Donnie, and you do continue putting your faith and trust in God. Lean upon Him, as Brother David said, lean upon Him. Very, very difficult time in your life. We await a miracle of God with you. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.